You are now entering the spoiler zone. The following podcast contains explicit plot details and pockets of profanity. You have been warned. The Exton Moss Experiment. Adventures in wine and space with Simon Exton and Ken Moss.
Hello everyone, and a very warm and moist wipe with a chamois leather in your private parts to the Exton Moss Experiment. I'm Ken Moss.
I'm Simon Exton. How much of that have you had?
None yet. We are joined tonight by...
Paul Islesworth.
Welcome back aboard, mate. Nice Hello. To have you. Now, well, I say welcome. You might not think so by the time we're finished with this. What are we watching tonight?
Well, this is part of our very final Brexit special.
Yeah, best of all. Very final. Loads very of Brexit final. Stuff to do, yes. Nothing to do with Brexit, but it ties in very nicely. But yes, what are we watching?
We are going to watch the Doctor Who story, The Horns of Nymon, or after having watched it again last week, The Horns of Gammon.
Who are you?
Well, I'm the Doctor. This is Romana. Who are you?
Seth.
He is Prince of Aneth.
We are the bearers of Aneth's tribute to the Nymon.
What a curious thing to be.
We were on our way to Skonos when something went wrong with the ship.
I have to get them safely to Skonos, whatever happens.
The second Skonon Empire
will be born.
What is it?
Power drawn from the distant stars themselves. Skonos shall rule the heavens.
It's as though something had sucked the life force out of it. Left just a husk.
Where's Romana?
Turn back!
The Nymon waits for no man!
As a bit of background, Ken and I remote watched this together a few days ago and realised that one of the characters is Captain Gammon.
I've got to say, he is. Yeah, if you had to sort of personify, it would be... Anyway, we'll come to that in a second.
There are lots of elements of the story that are very Brexitable.
Are there? Anyway.
But before we get to that...
We need fuel. Open up the tonic screwdriver.
We are drinking Four Pillars Spiced Negroni Gin, which is batch distilled in the Yarra Valley. It's 43.8% alcohol.
God almighty, how much bollocks is there? It's like a bloody novel on the side of that thing.
Yeah, there is fuck tons of info bollocks. So it starts off, the gin. Oh God, the gin and the drink. What the fuck's the difference? Anyway, we'll get on to it. It began as a chat between Cameron, our distiller, and Jason Williams, one of the world's best bartenders. What would make the perfect gin for a Negroni? Something spicy, fragrant, and emphatic, combining fresh oranges and ginger with Indonesian cubeb and West African grains of paradise. And the drink is a classic Negroni, needs just three ingredients in equal measures. 30 mils of spiced Negroni gin, 30 mils of your favourite classic Italian-style bitter aperitivo, and 30 mils of sweet red vermouth. Stir over ice in a short glass and garnish with orange, or make yourself a spicy G&T with a grapefruit garnish. I mean, that tells you...
That sounds that's a lot of effort.
That spends a lot of time telling you fuck all. And actually, info bollocks as per Four Pillars in the past has just been, this is Australian, it's got stuff in it, get it down your neck. So, what do we think?
I'm not getting anything particular off the nose.
Oh, I am. No. Yeah, it's a bit spicy. It doesn't smack you around the head.
But no.
There is a nose there.
It smells like a spice gin and tonic.
Yeah.
Shall we?
Dive in.
That's nice.
That's quite nice, I've got to say.
It doesn't overdo it with the spice, but... It's there. You get a little bit of after tingle on your tongue, which is always nice.
Mm.
It's all right. I'm not blown away.
Sound like the Backstreet Boys. It's really all right.
Is this popular culture?
Yeah, sorry.
I don't know anything beyond 1955.
Drag you into the 21st century. Yeah, sorry.
Drag me into the 20th century if you can. I'll sort of catch up from there. No, it's all right. It's a 3 from me, I'm afraid.
4 from me.
Yeah, I'm on a 4 as well. I like it.
It's a spice gin. It's nice. It's smooth. It has that little bit of extra to it that brings it up beyond a 3. It's not so nice that it takes it into 5 territory. Safe 4.
Yeah.
We're not going to do a Black Archive this time.
Because we can't be asked.
We can't be asked. So it's...
And Spaff has kind of taken over downstairs. And this point on a Saturday night, you never quite know what he's doing with the holographic projector.
Yes.
And it's often best not asked.
And just for the Imaginarium.
Best left to your Imaginarium.
Precisely.
At some point, he's going to link the two of them together. And then it will never be safe to go down there again.
We're going to have to find something else to do.
Like a never-ending loop of lost and unfound things. An infinite loop.
Oh, God, you just stop it, because you're going to start him on the Brexit thing there. So without further ado, we are just going to run VT. We're going to, as ever, we're going to do episodes 1 and 4 with a commentary. And plough our way gallantly through episodes 2 and 3.
Was that gammonly?
Gammonly, yeah. We'll plough our way gammonly through episodes
Oink
2 and 3.
Oink our way.
Both of you can fuck off. It's episode 1 of The Horns of Nymon. Run, VT!
You see, I grew up with this type of sequence. I think it's marvellous.
It's something else, isn't it? It's really cool.
This is my sort of default brain setting for the Doctor Who title sequence, and I don't care how good they were before, how good they were since. This is what I grew up with, so it's my...
It doesn't even look aged, though.
Well,
it?
They did it with cling film and cooking oil.
Really?
Yeah. It took about 6 months to make that title sequence, which is why it lasted about 7 years.
It's good, though. It's really, really good.
That's quite a hat.
Yeah.
It's... I have a red hat with all sorts of shite on the front of it, and Minion has a coal scuttle on his head.
Yeah, you know who's in charge in this scene.
It's a whole load of empty rhetoric by somebody a bit onky.
I'm assuming these two are going to die quite soon.
I wouldn't like to spoil it for you.
However, Captain Gammon there has a significant role to play.
Oh, sorry, I didn't recognise him with his helmet.
But do you recognise
her?
I do recognise her. Why do I recognise her?
Blue Peter.
We have her daughter's gin next door.
Oh, is it Janet Ellis?
Yes.
Oh, what? I knew she was in Doctor Who.
The pilot is 40 and looks Neo-Grecian.
40? The co-pilot is 35.
Space Gammon.
Maybe they're suffering from space fatigue.
Clearly they are.
His hat's wonky.
He's wearing his 35-year-old hat at a rakish angle.
Yes, this is Captain Gammon promising 350 million. So he's royally fucked it up. And is now expecting his superior to sort it out.
See, the Horns of Nymon is really given a sort of a bad rep, but... Okay, that's fairly terrible.
And sometimes you can see why.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've got the two leads. Are they... No, they're not Skonons, are they?
Yeah.
No, they're not. They're taking another... Is it... It's Anna.
Yeah, but they're Skonons and they're taking them to Aneth.
No, they're Skonons taking them to Skonos from Aneth.
Oh, right. I couldn't give a shit, they're all wooden. But they've shook the entire set there, rather than just getting them to sort of dance about. Maybe the extras, but the whole control room set, they were...
Well, the central console was shaking.
Yeah. Mm. We're making
modifications. It's extremely... Douglas Adams, I think. Was this written by Douglas Adams?
Douglas Adams was a script editor right, at this point for this season. Are you familiar with Douglas Adams' work?
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah,
I
was going to say, is it the same guy who wrote?
Yeah.
It's markedly different from a lot of the rest of Doctor Who.
This was the same director as Threads.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God. See, by this point, Tom Baker had been in it about 6 years.
Mm.
And he was dominating proceedings.
Yeah.
And he got away with a lot of jokes, which they might not necessarily have been suitable, but he did them anyway. Douglas Adams, because he was quite a comedic writer. Oh, he didn't edit them out of the script, and Tom Baker said to them, the producer at the time didn't always get on with Tom Baker, so this period is not always regarded, season 17 as it was, isn't always regarded as the best.
Whereas I don't think there's a bad story in it.
Oh, I don't know.
Okay, Destiny of the Daleks.
It's not. City of Death is wonderful.
City of Death is great. Nightmare of Eden is fantastic. Horns of Nymon is fun. Creature from the Pit, it's patchy, but it's actually pretty good. And Sharda, had it been made, would have been superb.
Sharda would have been wonderful. I've got to admit, Sharda would have been. Yeah. But the year after, it was almost an entirely new production team. Tom Baker and Lala Ward were still in it. But they... Tom Baker, by this point, is just sort of... He's tossed on his costume. If you look at him in his early days, he was all fastened up with a cravat. And he looked very doctorish. Now, basically, he's Tom Baker.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just silly.
Yeah. The year afterwards, it must have been a horrible shock to the system, or a pleasant shock to the system. He got a completely new costume. Do you remember the burgundy costume as well?
Yeah.
Which I adore, Simon thinks is a bit...
Well, designed.
Designed. And you're right, of course, but he becomes the Doctor again in the next story.
It's fucking Megalos.
It's not, it's Leisure Hive. Let's start with Leisure Hive. That's pretty good.
Yeah. I just get a bit focused on Megalos because it's shit. And massively, can you imagine if they'd done something with Barbara rather than just having her as another character?
Agreed, yes.
So, Captain Gammon is realising quite how much he's fucked up. The bloke that he was going to blame everything on is dead. Well, that's quite a look.
Wow.
Oh, hello.
Hello, hello.
It's behind you. So, Sol Deed is somebody ridiculous looking and full of hyperbole and making a massive amount of promises that there is no chance of keeping.
All he needs
is the stupid haircut, and he's Bojo.
See, I do shy away from those whole two letters things because it doesn't really work with my name.
What's that?
Chemo. Yes.
Oh.
A&E department I worked in, we were all assigned three-letter IDs. And it was the first letter of your first name and the first two letters of your surname.
Sex.
Yes. And they would not change it. So I spent the 4 months that I worked there.
Dr. Sex?
Yes.
That's like you listen to my dad wrote a porno. Dr. Stud. Hello, Dr. Stud. Who turns out to be a woman. I'm exercise is highly radioactive. I detect ultra radiation
level Q7.325. I've never liked dogs, but I would love a canine. I've got a half-sized one upstairs.
Anytime you want to borrow one of our dogs, you're more than welcome.
So there are the two leads, and in the background there are the two twinkie lads who have obviously been doing each other since they left Anna. There's posh blonde, doped out redhead, and the brunette who barely fits into her costume.
Yes.
Why does she get a necklace and nobody else does?
Because she's Janet Ellis, queen of the future Sophie Ellis-Bextor empire.
Yeah. One day she'll rule the kitchen.
They're all very short.
No, just Tom Baker's very tall. Have you ever met him?
No.
Him and Colin Baker, honestly, they are enormous giants.
Colin Baker's not that tall.
He is. Oh, honestly, he walks in.
I've met him, he's what, about 6'2", something like that?
Yeah, but everybody's a dwarf compared to you. To normal people who are a normal size.
Russell T. Davis isn't.
No, he's enormous, he's another one. It's this big, ebullient Welshman. Everything you think about Russell D. Davis, that's what he is in real life.
Oink.
I always thought Russell D. Davis was quite dwarfish.
No, he's about my height.
6'5"
is
in your... Yeah. He just bursts into a room and he brings with him his personality and his enthusiasm about everything. If you asked him to turn on a light switch, he'd be buoyant and Welsh about it. Actually, that's incredibly unfair. He would not be Welsh about it. He'd be happy about it.
He'd be happy about it in a Welsh accent. I see what you mean about him. Just he just hasn't really got a costume.
He has fucked everything up by trying to get home a few hours early.
Captain Gammon, yeah.
And is now blaming it on the poor dead bloke that he killed by fucking everything up. Just wait till he takes his helmet off. It's a treat.
Graham Crowden was considered for the role of the Doctor.
He looks quite doctorish, doesn't he?
Not in that frock, he doesn't.
No,
that's quite massive. Yeah,
well, no, that's not great. It's disappeared. Disappeared?
What are you talking about? He's widely considered to be the most pantomime villain there's ever been in Doctor Who. It just gets worse and worse. Absolutely no trace. No trace! Wait till he dies. Spoiler.
What?
He could have been played by Brian Blessed.
Brian Blessed was in Doctor Who.
Was he? Oh, Mind War.
Yes. Yeah, Karnos.
And he's very good. The question is, can we generate power soon enough to take the ship to escape velocity before we fall into a black hole with event horizon? What? You just hold the gun steady. Don't tax your mind. Yes, you go and oink over there. I mean, it's quite a nicely done set for all that it's tiny. Take this, you might need it. No, thank you. I've made my own. Oh,
really? You made this? Not bad. Bit basic, though. Wait till character options make one.
It's only a matter of time.
I'm still waiting for the second Doctor one.
Yeah, but all that is a silver tube.
It doesn't matter. It's not there yet. Weakling scum!
Oink.
You fools. You weak-minded fools.
That's the face that says, what the hell am I wearing?
Yes.
See, that must make your little jingoistic heart happy.
It does. White and blue. Red, white and blue ticker tape, yes.
Yes.
Canine's obviously British.
Yes, or Russian, or French.
No, definitely.
Or Dutch. Belgian. Or Australian.
Boy, jingo, boy, croggy, doctor. The TARDIS is fucked. I've been sort of computating and can't be asked, really. You've got a couple of tinnies on the back.
Yeah. I think we're all fairly confident that Canine isn't Australian.
But what about Russian?
Possibly yet. Russian.
No, yeah. Possible.
Fair income.
You little ripper. Daedalus designed the labyrinth of Knossos.
And very effectively, he's slow motion.
Weakling scum.
Oink, 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 oink. So he's about to fuck it up again, because he's not, spoilers, he's not going to wait for the signal.
Yeah.
Because clearly he is Captain Gammon and knows better than everybody about anything.
Yep.
Wellies! Why is he the only one wearing wellies?
I don't know, I'm just looking at Romana and how well dressed she is.
Oh.
He had previously appeared in The Dominators.
What did he play in The Dominators?
I don't know.
Because it wasn't Cully. It was a regular on Coronation Street.
Who's that, Captain Gammon?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all looking up.
Oh, the TARDIS is being attacked by chicken nuggets.
See, Posh Blonde in the background is just looking gormless.
Yeah.
Actually, they're all just looking gormless.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, Redhead looks as though she's on something.
Does she always wear, like, that kind of gear?
Yes. Yeah. Well, she always wears sort of doctorish gear, but with quite a stylish twist. this version of Romana. This is the second Romana. Right. The first version is...
Have you seen The Nightmare of Eden?
No, stop.
And the maternity dress.
Why are there two versions of Romana?
Because she regenerates. She's a time lady.
Oh, is she? All right.
Yeah. The previous Romana was the drag queen.
Oh. I'm taking it. None of you will say anything against Mary Tam.
Oh!
The post-operation. That's quite a costume.
Hey, we're friends.
Isn't it? I'm terrified by it.
That's a nice touch. His costume from The Talents of Wang Chiang is hung up on the coat stand. 220 million tons. The problem with this is that of the impending peril that would shatter the TARDIS, Tom Baker is not really taking it seriously. The audience track. 6 million people. Six fucking million people watched that.
No, 6 million people had it all in the background while they pointed and laughed at Captain Gammon.
Bollocks.
But did that say it was the 100th most watched program of the week?
But bear in mind, at this point, there would only have been three channels.
Yeah, so that's really bad.
Yeah, that's terrible.
But now,
million viewers would be in the top 10.
Well, yeah, but even now, when 6 million people watch it, it's not the 100th most, but it's in the top 20, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. This story was broadcast over Christmas and New Year, 1979 to 1980.
So this was the last broadcast story of the 1970s.
It was, yes, yes.
The end of the 70s.
I mean, I remember watching this first time around and being very entertained.
Well, Paul, I doubt you've ever seen this before. I, of course,
have.
It's terrible crap, but on the other hand...
This series has a bad reputation, which I don't think it deserves, because it doesn't have a bad story.
It's got some terrible dialogue, which I don't like. I think Tom Baker could have been...
reined in?
But yes, better reined in. And it would have made it better. Sharda, the story that comes after this, or that would have done, the cancelled one. Sam and I adore Sharda.
Had it been made, it would have been one of the best Doctor Who stories of all time.
Mm, yeah.
It's still very good, because it's been kind of cobbled together.
Pulling was right the way back.
You want to talk about Haunted Gammon again?
I think it might be time for a bit of a précis of episodes 2 and 3.
Bullshit happens. They land on wherever the fuck they're going. Wankery ensues. Captain Gammon dies. He tries to bullshit his way through. He has no fucking clue what he's talking about. He has ridiculous hair. It is Bojo in a silly costume.
And with that, it's Ron VT on episode 4. Two days before your birthday.
10th of January 1979.
It was the last time this tunnel typing sequence was used.
Was this the end of the series? Or did they just change it?
No, it was the end of the series. It wasn't meant to be, but it was. Two days before you were born.
Yes.
And the day I turned 10.
Oh. Is your birthday the 12th of January?
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
You're the reason he refused to come to my 50th birthday party. I generally don't celebrate my birthday, so. Which is what made the 50th all that more special.
Stop it.
Why was it the premature end of the series?
Because Sharda, though, was due to come after this.
Oh, yeah.
The six-part series set in Cambridge. They filmed two-thirds of it. It was beautiful. Because they never finished it. Horns of Nymon was the end of the series. Sharda...
Well, they just ran out of money to film.
No, there was a strike.
Oh, right.
What exists of it has been reconstituted with animation. And honestly, it's beautiful.
You see, if the Nyman had bits, he would have just flashed them. They're terribly dramatic, though.
Pew, pew.
That's still a terrible
costume. It's a dreadful costume. Black crenellated arms and a feathered hat.
Why is he stroking Canine's arse?
He's a dogger.
So, like people who shag car exhausts. Oh,
wow.
Will it help?
It might help.
It's a terribly pantomime. But it went out at Christmas time, so pantomime did.
Yeah.
You see, he has space wellies on. He's got a feathered hat.
Just saved my life.
It's the Black Guardian's dad.
It is. Sizom is played by John Bailey. Previously of the Sensor Acts and Evil of the Daleks. Is he?
Father of Dr. Victoria Wake?
No, the other one.
The 1947 version of four episodes of the Avengers. Very kind. Or most kind. In fact, most, every kind.
Yeah, every kind.
Oh, Victoria. I allowed the Nighthawks
to come here. It's a near
anagram of Moses.
So it's not an anagram at all.
All the names and places in this serial, they're all anagrams or near anagrams of real mythological places. Near anagrams.
Like the Pinotaur.
Nothing like honest.
See, this is stupid because they know by this point that the labyrinth will change. And so he's just left her behind to go on ahead, knowing that this is likely to happen. Maybe he just found her really annoying. Oh, he's taken off his hat. It's not an improvement.
Can you help me get back to the house? No. I can't.
Pew, pew.
Barney McGrew, Cuthbert Duvall and Grub. Captain Gammon.
Gammon.
Is he about to be spit roasted?
It's not Dante's
apple. Put an apple in his mouth.
Pew. Oh, no, I can't. I'm a Blue Peter presenter. Welcome to the Bull of Death.
A triple bull.
My bullocks.
I only put the 1600 in the... Oh, that's when Hamlet was written.
Well, you think that is a detailed bit of info, bollocks? You want to try the demons from John Pertwee's second season when they listed what newspapers used to make the shredded costumes.
And not just the newspaper, but the date. Of the newspaper.
Da da da, da 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 da.
I mean, they do look a bit dumb.
In the original script, they were supposed to be helmets. And they took off, but they ran out of money.
Kindly remove me from this service.
First, give me a demonstration of your power.
Pew. Ouch. Ouchie. Doctor Who was the program most mothers wanted to ban. Men popular with children, though.
That is too dangerous. How are we going to deal with the Nine Ones?
We just don't know.
Well, it's got black crap rammed into it, which apparently makes it effective.
You better crack on.
Or just shoot them with the thing that you know works effectively. Shoot them. That's another option. It's quite a frock he's wearing. I mean, the Nyman does walk as though he's constipated. Oh, he's milking his part there, isn't he? Ow, my leg. Take me with you.
I can see perfectly.
I can see that pin down there. Thudum. You know, for all it's ridiculous and pantomiming, we've spent more time just watching it rather than...
Correct, yes.
Tom Baker, he's captivating.
No, but what I thought was to switch it back.
He's a bit shit if he's not being told exactly what to do. What? What?
Why? What?
Okay,
what?
I've got this. What the fuck do I do with it? Oh, yeah. What do I do now? Thank you, Seth. Try to be a bit more useful next time.
Do we see him again?
Yeah, you see, only one with a necklace. He's the only one with space wellies.
It's all over, Soldy. You're finished.
No, the Nymon will fulfill his great promise. The Nymon be praised.
The Nymon.
I mean, he's obviously having a great time chewing the scenery.
Oh, this is a great journey of life. My dreams of conquest.
You are all doomed.
Lord Nymon.
I knew you'd save me, Seth. I knew it.
For your sake, yeah, come on, let's get out of here before the whole place explodes. Come on!
So they've rescued the most recent ones that they know, but ignored the fact there was a second layer of people that are presumably recoverable as well. They're impressive platform boots. Only one of them has space wellies.
What is going on here?
Oh, he's got his helmet.
They're probably waiting for their pension. Looks off.
Rah, rah, rah.
Grr, arg.
It's an ammeter. Well, it's actually six ammeters, but. Well, that's caused a mess. A most satisfying bang.
Well, yes, quite.
Well, come on, old girl. There's quite a few millennia left in you yet.
Thank you, Doctor.
Not you, the TARDIS.
$10.4 million people.
Soldi!
So, that was the joy that is Doctor Who, the Horns of Nymon.
Or the Horns of Gammon.
It's never going to grow old.
Oink, oink, oink.
Paul, what did you think?
I was entertained.
That's all you can ask.
Yeah. It was very over the top in places. And as you alluded to, pantomimey. But yeah, I liked it. Definitely stuff happened, which was compared to the last time we watched a Tom Baker.
The Underworld.
Underworld, yeah. It was just a lot of running around in a corridor. So there was something of a plot.
I mean, to be fair to Underworld, whatever you watch after that has to be an improvement. So it's setting the baseline really low that anything is going to leap over. This is a story that is kind of derided for being over the top and Lord Soldeed.
You fools!
But he's being played as an over-the-top caricature pantomime villain. Costumes. Oh, the costumes.
Yeah.
I mean, it went out at Christmas, so they dressed somebody like a black Christmas tree. The coal scuttle hats were a look. They did actually improve the looks of Captain Gammon, because that wasn't good when he took his hat off.
No, I was reminded a bit of Don Brennan. I don't know who I'm being more unfair on there. I've got to say, I enjoyed that a lot more than I remember the last time I saw it.
The last time you saw it was only 3 days ago.
Yes, before the last time I saw it. Yeah, it's never had a particularly great reputation. I think, there's so many levels that I can't even start. Primarily, this is the end of the season where they were running out of money. They'd saved everything for the finale.
but had produced some really good story. I mean, there isn't really a clunker in that season. Destiny maybe gets a bit dull. Mm. But other than that, they're all great.
Creature from the Pit, I can't remember seeing for years. Again, I don't remember a lot about it.
They're all fun. Haunt of Nymon is a fun story to watch. Yeah, you can get po-faced and pick holes in it, but it was designed to be a cheap fun filler, which is what it is. And it went out at Christmas time, so a bit of over-the-top campy pantomimeness. It's kind of like Christmas Special before they did Christmas specials.
While we're drifting into the area of costumery, Siri?
I am Persian.
Name your price.
Could you explain the rules of the game to me?
What, again?
This is where I'm just going to sit with my tea. You two can...
Well, actually, this isn't a straightforward one. Tempted to say there's not an awful lot of resting bitch face. The Yellow Pyjama Brigade, all of them, spend pretty much their entire time with the face in neutral. There isn't an awful lot of acting going on, and particularly the brunette, who was clearly not booked for her acting talents.
Are you saying?
She was straining to escape from the pyjamas, is what I was saying. And the redhead, who just looks constantly doped out on something. So we can argue that there's a bit of resting bitch face, although actually it's just visible gormlessness.
Yeah.
The only female costumes, there's Romana in her hunting pink, which isn't drag queen-y at all.
No.
Because it's a variation on a bloke's costume. And it's one of her better costumes. I think she looks really good in it, but it's not drag queen-y. The space pyjamas, there's nothing particularly feminine or glamorous about them.
No.
And those are the only female characters in there, aren't there?
Yeah.
Now, we have Captain Christmas Tree, which is just daft looking. But we also have Soldeed.
Surely he's got to be the one that breaks the scale.
Well, it's over the top and ridiculous, but it's not particularly feminine.
I think if I walked into the local workman's club, I would get the shit kicked out of me wearing Soldeed's costume.
That's true, but not because you look particularly feminine, but because you just look fucking stupid. And there's a huge difference between the two for our female listeners
out
there.
Yes, for our female listeners. That did actually come out terribly, terrible.
Makeup isn't great. I mean,
isn't Soldeed wearing eyeshadow?
I think he was.
Soldeed's wearing foundation that's far, far too pale for him. And then you have the flouncy feather costume in other blokey with the stick. Moses, Cezanne.
Yes. This is not my area. I still just can't get a hold on this whole what qualifies as a drag queen. I just saw... Oh, Soldeed with his...
And yes, it's ridiculous.
But it's not drag queen.
But it's not drag queen. I think this is about a two.
Yeah, there's not that much drag going on.
Dragging.
Not a lot of dragging, no. Apart from the elements of the story.
So what score do you think?
I'd go with a two.
I'll defer to your better judgment and give it a two.
While we're talking about the story, I think what I was struck when we watched it the other day is that there are a lot of parallels with our current political situation. And not just Captain Gammon. So to start with Captain Gammon, he's a ridiculous little man who comes up with a fucking stupid idea, lies his way to get it done. It then wrecks everything.
It's not a way to talk about Alex Salmond, though, really, is it?
I was thinking about Captain Bojo.
never use that word again.
What, Captain? Let's not talk about Alex Salmond, because that will be a long conversation and that I generally agree with you on. So where was I? Captain Gammon. And then once he has single-handedly fucked everything up, he blames people who can't defend themselves, i.e. because he's dead. He relies on somebody else to get him out of the shed and then shows them zero loyalty by fucking off before they're safe. He then arrives in his home planet and lies through his teeth really, really badly about his part in saving everything and what's been going on. Captain Gammon is Bojo with better hair.
There are parallels, I'll give you that. I think, whatever the character's name is, I think he might be...
Captain Gammon.
Captain Gammon. Let's call him down for the purposes of the podcast. I suspect he's an awful lot worse than Boris Johnson. Silence is deafening.
And then we get on, continuing the Brexit theme, we get on to the Nymon deal, which is based on pointless hollow nationalism with a whole load of promises that are unkeepable from a loud figure that just shouts everybody down. It's Brexit in a nutshell.
You could apply it to any situation where there's a referendum. Promises were made on both sides in that referendum that just were just...
I think ridiculous. Lies are the word you're looking
lies for. Lies is the word, yes, but the door does swing both ways.
We've at the time of recording, we have just had the local elections and some of the ludicrous things that have come through the door on leaflets and I've seen on television from all sides, promising this, promising that. And
but we have a political situation where the Prime Minister blatantly, obviously lies through his teeth and isn't censured. Why should you be surprised that other politicians are doing the same thing?
Well, this
and isn't challenged.
It's bandied around quite a lot about the Prime Minister lying. Just give me examples.
Oh, I hate you.
yeah. It's a common thing.
And I don't have any off the top of my head. And it's a kind of question that I hate because it's a way to completely diffuse any debate. Because unless you have a slew of facts in front of you,
well, one will do. Anything. I'm not particularly. It's just one of those. All I will say is when that's banded around, it's a very easy way of having it, and primarily at politicians.
When we do the next Brexit episode, yes. I will look up some of the lies.
Right.
And the easiest way to wreck any conversation is to say, prove your point on this.
Well, it's not really proof. It's only an opinion. It's just a case of if there's...
The Prime Minister lying isn't an opinion.
No, but...
It is a demonstrable fact that I don't have evidence of right in front of me because I wasn't expecting to have this level of conversation.
I must admit, we have... This is a long way from the horns of Nymon. We'll draw it to a close. I don't want to spoil the horns of Nymon. It's a wonderful story as of bringing politics into it. So, yes, we'll save this for a future Brexit episode. Mm. But, Paul, I hope you've enjoyed the glory of late 1970s Doctor. In fact, the last 1970s Doctor Who.
I did. I enjoyed it very much.
Excellent. So we shall sign off there. Thank you very much, boys and girls, for listening. Hope you've enjoyed it. We'd all recommend you go and see The Horns of Nymon. They're all cheapest chips on DVD now. But we'll be back soon with another edition.
Bye.
Bye now.
The Exton Moss Experiment featured Simon Exton and Ken Moss. All featured soundtracks are the property of their respective producers, and no infringement of copyright is intended. Title music was performed by the BBC Symphony Orchestra, and the programme was produced by Maverick Productions. For more information, please visit maverickproductionsuk.blogspot.com or find us on social media.